Oh, Father, glorify your name. Amen. A few years ago, a survey was published that asked teenagers what they would like to do with their lives, what they want to be when they grow up. And when you see, I think it was a 2021 survey, you can look it up if you like, you'll see a lot of the usual suspects on there, right? Doctor, nurse, professional athlete, musician, actor, you know, the familiar ones. But maybe, I think for the first time, one that burst up to the top of the list with close to 15% of respondents was influencer. Influencer. An influencer, in case you aren't aware, is someone who gathers, we could say, a following, usually online, people that are willing to look and listen to the things that they put out there. Sometimes they'll do it by putting out things like how-to videos on anything from makeup to car repairs. Sometimes they'll do it by providing reviews and interesting perspectives on pop culture and movies, music, and the rest. Sometimes they'll do it by jumping on to current trends, music and dances, and getting people to go along with the things that they are popularizing. But the common thread throughout influencer culture, which is a thing that's being talked about now, is that influencers have the eyes and ears of lots of people. They have attention. And brands and advertisers are willing to pay for a piece of that attention. Now, influencer may be a new profession, but what lies behind it in human nature is as old as time. It reaches all the way back to the fall into sin, where ever since that day, people have been looking for an opportunity to distinguish themselves as someone worth paying attention to, as someone worth the listen, worth the watch, worth the influence that they might wield. We constantly look for opportunities to lift ourselves, maybe not into the public eye, but into the eye of the people that we care about, right? The people whose opinions matter to us. We want to be thought of as highly esteemed and thought of as, well, we could say, influential. We like the idea of being glorious. And even if you think the profession of influencer sounds a little bit silly, isn't it possible that a desire for the honor, the respect, the attention of people was behind the dreams that you had as a kid? Professional athlete, right? Or pop star, musician, maybe even doctor would gather the attention of, the admiration of people who see the work that you do and think it's worthwhile. And maybe even, as your life has unfolded, you've found that to be an alluring idea, the idea of the approval and the admiration of others. Today, though, we see Jesus show us something different. Jesus is presented today with an opportunity to gain influence, to gain the admiration and the attention of people that would take him into the stratosphere of popularity, influence, and human glory. But Jesus looks for a different kind of glory. He looks to the glory, looks for the glory that comes from God, not from people. And in doing so, he submits himself to his Father's will and plan, even though it will lead him to suffering, shame, and death. This seems to us like the lowest of lows, the exact opposite of glory. But in Christ, God flips everything upside down. He calls Jesus' submission and sacrifice glorious. And in doing so, he forever changes the idea, our understanding of what is glorious and what is worthy of our attention, our praise, and our striving. The scene opens one of the days of Holy Week. Jesus has entered into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, triumphant, palms waving to the acclaim of all the people. And now he sits teaching a crowd, and some Greeks come looking for him. They come to Philip, who's from Bethsaida, which is an area that has contact with the Greek world. They think maybe he can be our inn, and they come and say, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip goes and brings the news to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip together relay the news to Jesus. And Jesus responds with something that could have gotten his disciples very, very excited. He says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." If Jesus were a social media influencer, then this could have been his big break. Right? Up to this point, he had been working in a dusty backwater of the Roman Empire, the province of Judea. He'd been preaching and teaching Jewish people. His disciples were Jewish people. But the Greeks were far more widespread and had far more influence. They could send him skyrocketing into worldwide fame in an instant. You see, the Greeks, their political influence may have been passed. The Roman Empire was in control of the Mediterranean world, but Greek culture ran throughout this Roman Empire. The Romans even saw themselves as the ones who had brought Greek philosophy and ideas to its highest level. And so if Jesus could get to the Greeks, who knows how far his message could reach? Who knows how high he could rise? Who knows what kind of glory and influence he could attain? But instead of rushing out to meet these Greeks, Jesus turns to the crowd that's gathered around him and he says something strange. "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." What? Jesus, I thought you were saying you were about to be glorified. What in the world does that have to do with seeds? Well, you and I, we probably wouldn't call something as simple as a seed glorious, right? If you called someone up and invited them over to your house to see your impressive collection of corn kernels, pretty exciting, right? No, we don't do that, right? That's not what seeds are. They're not glorious. And yet, it's not what you're supposed to do with seeds, is it? What are you supposed to do with seeds? The whole point is to plant it. And that looks like throwing it away, right? You have seeds and now you don't. They're in the ground. You buried them under the dirt. But the glory of a seed is not in what it is when you hold it in your hand. It's in what it produces when you throw it away. Right? The glorious, most glorious seeds, the most productive seeds, you can't even see which ones they are until you plant it in the ground and see what God brings forth from it. Jesus is teaching us something important. He is teaching us that his glory will not be measured in the approval and the attention of others. His glory will be measured by what it produces. His glory will be measured by what happens when he takes his life and gives it away. See, Jesus knows where this week is going to end. He knows that he will be lifted up from the earth on a cross, that he will bear the full fury of God's wrath over sin, yours, mine, and all of humanity's. He knows that the plan that the Father made before the creation of the world requires him that he take the most valuable thing he has, his life, and that he plant it in the ground, in the grave, in a tomb. But he also knows what the result of his submission to his Father's will and his sacrifice for you and me would be. It would bring a harvest of people who have been rescued from sin and death and hell and gathered into God's barns to be with him forever. Don't think that made it easy for him, though. Jesus said, my soul is troubled, right? The prospect of suffering and death and hell and shame, this is not something that is pleasant even for him, even though he knows what it will bring. But even so, he would not turn aside. Yes, what shall I say? Should I ask the Father to save me from this hour? He says, no, that would be ridiculous. It was for that very reason that I came to this hour. Instead, he says, Father, glorify your name. Father, use what is about to happen to me. Use my submission to your plan and my love for these people. Use my sacrifice to glorify your name, to make yourself known as the God who loves and the God who saves, the God who is willing to give up what is most valuable to him so that he can have people, you and me, as his own forever. Father, glorify your name. And a voice spoke from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus' death glorified his Father because he submitted to his plan, and by it he showed the kind of God that we have, the God of love. And in his sacrifice, the Father glorified Jesus, holding him up, exalting him not only on a cross to die, but exalting him for all humanity to see, the Savior that he has given, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him in faith. This is the one by whom he would judge the sinful nature of this world. This is the one through whom he would throw out the prince of this world, Satan himself, and break his power and dominion over the people of this world. This is the one through whom he would draw all people, Greeks included, to himself. And you are proof of Jesus' glory. You are part of the harvest that he has gathered to himself. You are here today because of him, because his sacrificial death has paid for your sins, has reconciled you to God, has become for you the source of eternal salvation. You have God's forgiveness and redemption. You have a place in his family because of Jesus and his cross. He has drawn your eye. He has drawn your heart with his love. And by faith, we say, it is glorious. But if you recognize the glory of Jesus, doesn't that mean something for what we see as glorious in our lives as well? Jesus didn't seek the glory that comes from the approval and acclaim of others. He sought the glory that God gives And what is it that God considers glorious? What is it that God lifts up and glorifies and says, this is what I love? It's a Savior who sacrifices himself out of love for the good of the people that he loves. It is self-sacrificing service that is willing to treat our life like a seed and to find its glory in what happens when we give it away. Listen to the kind of life that Jesus calls us to. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, he says. But anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, the concept of love and hate that Jesus is using here is not the same as ours, our English usage of those words. What he's talking about here is priorities. If you love something in the way that Jesus is talking about it, you elevate it to a high place. But if you hate it, you downgrade it in your priorities. He says, anyone who loves their life, and we can say along with it, the glory that comes in this life from the people around us, the acclaim, the attention, anyone who loves that will lose their life. But whoever downgrades that and loves instead the glory that God gives, will gain it, will keep it for eternal life. And so Jesus calls us, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. And here's the promise. My Father will honor, will lift up, will glorify the one who serves me. Jesus calls us to walk the road he walked, to follow him in self-sacrificing love for others. But that is hard. It means living your life like it doesn't really belong to you. First off, it belongs to the God who gave you your life. And second, it means living like your life belongs to the people God has given you to. Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, even your enemies. God has given you to them to be a blessing to them. He wants to bless them through you, just like he gave us Jesus, so that we could be blessed eternally through him. And that means seeking the good of others instead of the good of ourselves. This is hard because it runs against every inclination of our inborn sinful nature. But God has given you such strength and power to fight your sinful nature and to live the life that he calls you to. God didn't just exalt Jesus for dying. He didn't give Jesus glory as payment for a dirty job done. No, God did more than that. God glorified Jesus' death. God glorified Jesus' cross. And here's the powerful truth. God glorifies the crosses that we bear. Out of self-sacrificing love, he lifts them up. He makes them glorious. See, Jesus doesn't just call us to downgrade, to hate our life in this world because God will one day glorify us to make up for it, even though he will. No, Jesus calls us to hate our life in this world and sacrifice for others because God glorifies sacrifice. By it, Jesus makes us into pictures of him. And through him, through us now, the glory of God's love in Christ is seen. Is there anything more glorious than that? Could you have any greater glory than to look like God? But God does even more. And he uses our sacrifice of love to accomplish far more than our lives would ever achieve if we just spent them on ourselves. He makes the lives we give away in self-sacrifice, he makes them like seeds. He makes them fruitful beyond our imagination. Through them and through what happens when we give them to others, through our sacrifice and witness, he draws even more people to Jesus, and he gives them the glory of life that will never end. What is truly glorious? What is worthy of our attention and our praise and our striving? Influencers might be glitzy, and a big paycheck might gather the admiration of your peers, but we look somewhere else. In the cross, we see what God glorifies. The Savior who submitted to his Father's will and became the source of eternal salvation for you and for me. It is his self-sacrificing love that fills us and overflows us. And it is his self-sacrificing love that inspires us to plant the seeds of that love and the seeds of God's glory every day. Amen.